Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
I take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner here on this nice crisp morning here at the Grand Old Lady. And it's a pleasure being here as we are each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And it's a pleasure doing this. And we hope that you enjoy our shows we have here each Thursday. And we really appreciate the folks that make this possible, that being the Clay County Chamber, and also the Three Star Committee, and all the great folks that advertise that make this possible. And just remind everyone, we are live in living color this morning on your radio dial, but we will be rebroadcast this evening here on 101.5 Kicks Country, and then also we'll be on the website of the Del Hall Horizon newspaper here in a few days, and all our shows are listed there by the date that they're actually broadcast. And so we've got all those things going on, got a few birthdays and an anniversary this morning, and got quite a few things to talk about, some announcements to make, got some things going on in and around here around Christmas time. And also got some news about, we'll just take a little short break so I don't keep stammering around here, and come back in a few minutes and talk about some of the things we've got going on. So we'll be right back in a few minutes. Let's get some messages on here and help pay for this place. We'll be right back.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
We ask Clay County teenagers, and only about a third of them say their parents have talked to them at least once in the last year about the danger of using stimulants. Parents, if you're having this conversation with your child, remember, don't stop talking after one conversation. Your influence and communication matters. If you have not had a conversation with your child, the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition encourages you to do so. Explain the dangers and consequences of stimulant use. Be clear on your stance about stimulant use. Let them know you care and you're there to talk whenever needed. For more information, please visit SAMHSA.gov. This project is funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to change up a little this morning. Kevin Nelson is your referee this morning. He's going to MC for a little while, and we're going to do some history on, well, between the two of us, we're going to do some history on boys basketball here, which I was involved in here a few years ago. And I don't, we've never really talked about some of those days, and we're going to go back probably maybe all the way back to 1941 or something or other before we get through with all this.
Well,
but I think you had something you wanted to ask me first.
Yeah, we'll
do that later.
We'll shelve that later, yeah.
Okay, well, one more thing before we get started here. Next Wednesday, a landmark occasion, the original roly-hole marble machine is coming back to Clay County after numerous years of sitting down at the Tennessee State Museum in a closet. And to make a process pretty short, I called down there and checked on it and tried to get them to let us have it. And they said it needed, you know, some work restoring. It hadn't been done anything with for a number of years. But they gave me a counter proposal where they would hire a professional person to work on that and get it back in shape. And they would loan it to us here in Clay County for the museum. But then following on a little bit later than that, they decided that this machine was kind of fragile and it didn't need to be moved around a lot.
Right.
So they would probably make its home here, but it would just be renting space, I guess, instead of living here.
Yeah, lend it to us.
Yes, lend it to us.
Well, that'll be a great addition to the museum.
Yes, it is, because that's kind of the holy grail of the marble maker. Everyone was always interested in what happened to that.
Absolutely. And nice to have Mr. Garrett's machine here with us.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, now
talking about basketball, I was sitting here thinking, Thomas, and for full disclosure, Thomas is basically the only basketball coach I ever had. We'll say that up front. So we go back pretty far, and I was thinking, Thomas, you know, either by observing as you are now and still being involved in it some, being a coach, being a player and being able to remember some times before that, you can trace about 65 years directly of Clay County basketball. Wouldn't that timetable be about right?
It's been pretty close. I started playing in 1961.
In high school.
In high school.
Okay.
Yes.
But you can remember some of the folks before that.
Yes, before that.
Like the rest of us, went and watched the high schoolers play and whatnot. So you actually go back to the 50s that you can actively remember.
Yes. You know, I remember all the way back to the days when I was in junior high, and the girls' basketball team had these pretty red jackets that had winners of the Livingston Girls Invitational Basketball Tournament.
I started to say, why were they red?
But at that time was probably as prestigious as the state tournament was at that time.
Right.
Over in Livingston, because they drew people really from all over the state of Tennessee, and they were lucky enough to win that thing. And I forgot to do the research on exactly who played on that, but I know it was a tremendous team, and Coach John Teeples,
right,
who was one of the best three-on-three basketball coaches to ever coach in this area. And then along that line, something hit me the other day that I hadn't really thought of, that I actually coached the first full court girls basketball game here at Salina High School.
And we'll talk, let's see, well, we can talk about it now. That would have been the, like 77 or 78?
It was the year before it became, before the state of Tennessee started doing it. Gamalia, Kentucky had a girls basketball team one of the years that I was coaching girls basketball. And I do remember that Maria Cardona was on that team. And we went over there and played them a regular scheduled game. I don't know whether it was legal then or not, but we did. And, of course, they beat us. But the young ladies came back just thrilled to death knowing that they were going to get to play that way next year.
Right.
And
that bunch you mentioned, Maria and some of the, they would have graduated in 78, so that might have been.
She'd been like a junior, I believe.
Okay, that'd been like the 77 or 76, whatever.
But
it's been a while.
You know, I never paid any significance to that until it just hit me one day.
Right. Promising, looking back over however long, 60 or 65 years, we'll talk about some specifics, and I know you've got a story you want to tell about it, but what are some of the things that jump out at you most, looking back on 60-plus years of Bulldog basketball?
Well, even looking back, with the history, even maybe at least that far back, and that we had kind of a cycle here with basketball in Clay County, where about once every 10 years we were winning the district tournament. And that was back in the days, when there wasn't classes, and we were playing against White County and Cookeville, Smithville,
right,
all those bigger places.
And I'd like to circle back around to that in just a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, though, we start.
But, we went through that once every 10 years. Kevin said we won one like in 41 and 51. In 61, and I was a starter on the team in 61. I came off the bench, the regular starter, sprained his ankle, and I got to start my career at the district tournament.
Right.
But in that, and then we kind of broke that cycle because for the next 3 years, my senior year, we were runners up to Livingston Academy, and then the year after that, when my brother Danny was playing with William Ross Cherry, they actually won the district tournament out at the Salina High School gym against York Institute there.
Right.
So we went 3 years there and won, and then due to politics in Clay County, our coach was moved to Union Hill after that, and we had kind of a dry spell there for a number of years until we came back. And I know it was, I think maybe we did make it to the regional tournament one time from the time that I played, I guess, actually up until I started coaching. So.
Well, now, obviously, I wasn't around in 41.
I wasn't either.
But, I can remember, I'm pretty sure, seeing a picture various times of that team that won that. And I'm not going to start naming names of people that's on because I'll leave a bunch out and all that. But I can think back to some folks that I knew personally that were on that 40, pretty sure.
And I believe on the one of the teams, I believe maybe your father-in-law was on one of those teams.
Well, that's one I was thinking of.
Yeah, because I know
their brother-in-law-to-be, I guess, when
they were
grown.
I know they were big fans through the years, and they were the ones that kind of told me that we had done that, once every 10 years, but like when we did that. But, and I know in 1951, looking at that one, we had a star player here. The past few years, we've had some star players.
Well, I better know who that's going to be.
And that is, you won't tell everyone who that
is? Well, no, because I may be thinking wrong.
David Shore.
That's what I was,
And, over the years here, with the history of basketball, it was kind of considered to be a secondary sport, even in the boys then. Football was a big thing. But I do know the 1951 team, there was actually a basketball boy, basketball coach, Charlie Howard.
Right, and he was a football coach.
He was also the football coach, but I think he was more interested in basketball than he was football.
Interesting.
And I think maybe he had married one of the ladies here in Salina, was actually from up in Louisville or somewhere or another, and he came down, and this team, they won a district tournament, and they had one of the most valuable players in Middle Tennessee, and that was David Short, who led the
he held the Bulldog single game scoring record forever, recent years.
And that one, I think that one was actually set in a district tournament game, and I think it was broken in a state tournament game.
Right.
During the modern times.
Thomas, am I remembering? Seem like I remember the. I think it's more than a legend that when David Short scored his 50, that he outscored the opposition. Am I remembering that right?
He outscored Livingston Academy by himself.
Right.
And I know Coach Howard coached that team, and it all went to him. And I know there was one story that I think Mr. Lincoln Wilkerson told me that they were playing, and he couldn't have been real old, but he said that one of the other players came down and pulled up around the head of the circle and fired a little one-hand shot and hit it, and Coach Howard called time out. He said, "Sit down. I told you Short was shooting tonight."
Well, he wasn't ashamed of the star system then, was he, at all?
No. But there were great memories looking back at those things. And I, like you said, when we won the district tournament in 61.
Well, tell us who, a lot of the names you'll name will be people that are recognizable. Who were some of the team members on the 61 team?
Of course, my brother Ranford Watson, he was the leading scorer on that team. And Earl Goose Abney, who also was a good football player, he was on that team. And Kenneth Cherry and Mel Brown. And the fifth starter was Carl Smith. And he sprained his ankle right before the tournament, and so I became the fifth player on that team.
Okay.
And we started out, I think we played that game down at Red Bull in Springs, and some of you folks over in the other end of the county know the place I'm talking about. It eventually became a shirt factory on the hillside over there, a little cracker box gym, and I think it was about, instead of 50 foot wide, it was like about 46 foot wide and short. And
where was it located in relationship to the school now?
On the other side of the road, up on top of the hill over there.
Oh, okay.
It was a totally different place, and I know when we practiced getting ready for going down there, I know Coach Carmen Brown, he got some white tape out, and we taped our court off the same size on his side.
So you get used to it.
So we get used to it. And we had all kinds of controversy at the meeting of the coaches that year because we had started out kind of strong, and I think they met, pretty good time before the end of the season. And I know we lost maybe the first four, five, six ball games we had, but we went on a winning streak, and we had won every game, all of our games except for one. The only team that beat us twice that year was Livingston Academy, and we were anxious to get a hold of them in the tournament. But the first game we had to play Red Bull and Springs at home, and the second game we played York Institute, who at that time was ranked number two in the state among all classes. And they kind of finagled around and put us over there with them.
Right.
And we managed to beat them. And, of course, then Rickman and Livingston played each other. And, of course, we were pulling for Livingston because we wanted to play them because
right.
They had beaten us twice. But Rickman upset them. And then we, of course, then we beat Rickman, and we made it to the regional tournament. We played in the Memorial Gym over at Cookeville, and we basically led the entire ball game. And I guess something to kind of shape my coaching, and we had us about a 5-7 point lead going pretty deep into the fourth quarter, and Coach Brown decided it might be time for us to slow down a little bit. And I think one of my mottos was, you don't ever slow down because you got to slow down for them to catch you.
Right.
And but they called us, and we went ahead of them, and we had a 1 point lead with about, I don't know, less than a minute to play, and they came down and got the shot off and missed it, and just at the buzzer they tipped it back in and beat us by 1 point.
Well, and as big as the district was in those days, playing in the region would have been almost like what we think of as subsequent.
Well, we were that one win from the Sweet 16.
Okay.
I mean, that was the way it was set up then, and we basically, like I said, it kind of shaped my philosophy on playing slow-down basketball. And,
right.
But I know we, and I think that was one of the years that I think, of course, White County went on to the state tournament, and that group, I know they finished high in the state tournament. I'm not really sure, but I know that group actually won the consolation game before they all, the ones that were in the same class that I was in.
Right.
They won the consolation game at the state tournament, so they had a tremendous team, and we had a tremendous team then. I think we went like 17-10. Played everybody from Marrowbone, Kentucky to anywhere.
Right.
But it was just a great time. It was great to be a part of that. You know, that is something, you know, I know that things like that don't get, you know, it's been a long time ago.
Well, and good memories for
and,
you.
And quite a few Hall of Famers were on that team for football, mainly, I think, that made for football. But
hold that thought. I'm looking at my watch here. It might be time for us to do a little break.
We might ought to pay for this thing.
Well, stay with us here on Clay County Corner. We'll be right back.
Tri County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Kevin Donaldson discussing basketball with your regular host, Mr. Thomas Watson, today, and he's told us some very interesting details about basketball going all the way back to, well, basically World War II times. And Thomas, interesting to note, too, you've alluded to football and the fact that a lot of football players played basketball and they were all the stars or whatever. And we're not talking football today, but old Salina High School went on about an 8 or 9 year hiatus from football that started during World War II and lasted all the way until the 49. I know that because my dad was in it, the 49 season. So we just had one sport really going there for about 7 or 8 years or maybe 9.
And, of course, there was a time there during that period we had three high schools playing basketball here in Clay County.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely is hard to believe. Thomas, something I thought we'd go back to. You mentioned all the teams that some, you know, the 41, 51, 61, all district champs, some of the teams that they played, and we hear those names now and realize they are in a much higher classification than what Clay County High School basketball is now. Let's go back and talk about classification back then from the time that it started. And basically, once upon a time, everybody was just in the same pot. There was one classification, which was everybody.
Yes, and I know, Kevin, the first year that I coached, I was the girls' basketball coach here in Salina, and I believe there were 17 teams in the district. In the district tournament that year, including, you know, everybody from White County. I don't think Putnam County was, but all the, you know, the bigger high schools and everything are in here. And there were, like I said, 17 teams in there. And I know that was, I guess, a great time for me. Had a great bunch of young ladies that played for me that year that had, I was the fourth coach I think they had during their high school career. And we actually won quite a few ball games, and we actually won a game in the district tournament, which hadn't been done since back Coach Teeples back in the 50s had done.
Right.
And that we beat White County in the district tournament. So, you know, that was something. But that was also actually about the classification. The first year when I did coach the girl, there was no classification. But the first year that I coached boys basketball, there were two classifications.
And it was S and L, right?
Yes.
Small and large.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I remember that. That was my time.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it started the first year you coached boys,
yes,
which was 72 or 73, somewhere in there?
I would have been, I guess, 70, the 72, 73 season.
Okay.
Was the year that I started there.
When did it move to three classes? It was not that long before they went to three.
It may have been the next classification period.
Okay.
I know that before very long, I know that it did go to that. But during that Class S, that was, like I said, the first year that I coached, and we kind of started off like the team that I played on, lost a whole bunch of early ball games, and came back and kind of gelled. I know when I took over, I think maybe the year before that, they'd only won like three or four ball games. But there was a tremendous group of young men that was there. And that, and I mentioned these names because I may not mention very many more. And that was beginning with Jackie Frog, Gary Strong, James Strobal, Johnny White, and Walt Weaver. And they were juniors and seniors. You know, one of the first things I did, I know we had a lot of changes going around on the basketball team, but, you know, I kind of went in with the look that I need to find the five best players that are going to be here next year. And that's kind of what I went with, and it was a great choice because Walt Weaver was actually chosen that year as the Class S Player of the Year.
I remember that.
In the state of Tennessee. And that much, I think we won. We won the consolation game in the district, and we placed up against Cannon County, who was, I think, one of the ranked in the top 10 teams in the state that year, but they had gotten upset in their tournament, and they came in at number two, so number two and three matched up against each other, and we give them a good thrashing. And we had all kinds of problems with that. Being a young coach, I didn't know there was a rule that you could only dress out 12 players for the regional tournament. Well, I had 13 players on the team, and the opposing coach called the association and wanted to get us forfeited because we had too many players on the bench.
Well, and I would have been one of those on the bench. That group resonates with me because I did watch them. They were ahead of me, and I watched them from the bench, but I saw them up close. A lot of great players in that bunch.
That was kind of interesting because, the coach, he was kind of an ornery fella anyway, but you know, he came up with a couple of things. When we came out and warmed up, I know Kevin remember this because I always like my players to come out and kind of hang their hand over the rim, and nobody else had done that, I don't think, and he constantly, isn't that against the rules? And
you couldn't dunk in those days.
You're right, and I know Gil Gideon was in charge of CLSAA, and he said, I don't care how they come out and touch the rim, as long as they don't do chin-ups on it.
There's a name from the past, too. Indians.
Yeah, and in the second round there, we came up against the same team that had beaten us in the district, and that was Gordonville, who went on to the state tournament. Coach Turney Ford had one of his best basketball teams, and they made it to the state tournament. That's kind of a tradition we started that wasn't real good. Usually the team that put us out either in the district or the region would either go to the state tournament or win it.
Right. Well, it's always good to say that you got beat by the state champ.
We did that way too many times.
Right.
But, you know, looking down through the years, we talked about, you know, district wins for Clay County. If we go back and we count, you know, back, I think 11 times my teams were lucky enough to win 11 district championships, and I think there were three before that, and that makes 14 of those before Coach Edwards, and I think maybe we also won another one when the year that the guy from Red Bull and Springs came over and coached us. I think they won a district tournament that year. So we're looking at adding 15 to however many Coach Edwards. I don't think there's any school in the state of Tennessee that can come up anywhere near the number of district championships right. that have been won by Clay County schools here.
A lot of them, for sure. And, Thomas, we went from a single classification with everybody in one pot to – Well, and then we went to three classes, that would have been around, seemed like 75 or 76 that happened.
I know reclassification comes every 4 years.
Right.
I think that's when it was.
And now we got four classes.
Yeah.
And I'm at a loss. How many years? That's just been within the last
couple of years
or something.
And, you know, it really didn't change the number of teams that we faced in our districts, and we were still up to anywhere from 12 to 16 teams in our district. And, you know, it was usually a battle. And we were one of the large ones. There were a number of districts that had fewer schools because our district tournament in those days would last 2 weeks. And by the time we got through the district tournament, we were sometimes kind of worn down a little bit, which I think was a disadvantage to us. But
Thomas, I can remember when I was a senior and playing a little bit, we had to win two games just to go on to the region.
Right.
Then, and it may have been three.
I think it was three,
y'all were playing. But now, if you win one game, you're going on. You know, so it's definitely changed.
Well, now I think we've got five now.
And they have a play-in game.
Yeah,
for that fourth spot, basically. So.
But looking back on all of the district championships, we had some great ones over the years, and we won quite a few. We went to the region. We finally won some region. We did eventually make it to the state tournament. But you know, I'm kind of looking through here at some of the names that I have written down here, and a lot of the teams. One of the things that you know that I tried to do was always to be training my next leader before he got to be the leader. You know, that was something that I guess in the system that I use, I always wanted. Even we had some teams that kind of blow people away, but there was something I always liked to do for a few minutes, and that was put next year's starting five on the floor. For a little bit, and I think that helped. And my coaching philosophy was, you teach your young men how to do five or six things right, and you're going to win until you come up against the guy that taught his how to do seven or eight. plays. You know, I didn't have a set plays all that. I didn't stand up all to run San Francisco or one or two or three. But we did run one little set play on an inbounds play one time in my career that I can remember. And that was in the final game in the district tournament down at Gainesboro against Jackson County. And we were down 1 point with, 8 or 10 seconds left and had an inbounds play. So I called timeout, and I set up a play where we had someone throwing it in, the three other players, and a young man named Champ Smith. And that was I had Roger Short, Johnny McLaren, James Bartlett, Gary Plumley on the team. And I told those guys, you guys set up over on the other side of the floor and you start screening for each other. But I said, don't roll off. They just screen back and forth. And I said, now, Champ, you get right here and stand right here. Don't move. And of course, they all went running over, all the screenings going on, and looked out, and Champ standing there by himself. And we threw the ball into him, and as the buzzer went off, the ball went in. And that was my one big.
I remember which. Now I was going on to text him, but I was at that game. I remember which end of the floor that was on there, and remember Champ hitting that shot.
But he just went out there and stood, and the rest of them did all kinds of screening and moving and doing everything in the world.
Well, Thomas, I can look at the list, even though I'm looking at the upside down, see we got a lot more talking to do. We probably need to talk birthday and anniversary.
Yes, we do.
And then go to another break. No?
Yes, we do.
Who have we got in this week?
All right, we have Donita and Ronnie Harper celebrating an anniversary. We'd like to wish them a happy birthday. Miss Isabel Hale has a birthday today.
Okay.
Cameron Anderson, Mr. Jason Hamilton has a birthday today. And Olivia Brooke Clements has a birthday today. So we have those folks that are celebrating, and we'll use our system to pick out someone here in a minute.
They'll get a nice prize.
Yes, they do.
Shortly.
Yes, they do. Have to go over by the chamber and pick it up, of course.
Absolutely.
But we don't mail it to you. You got to come get it.
Right.
And with that, Kevin?
Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk some more basketball. It might sneak a little history about something else in, but we'll see how it goes. But stay with us here on Clay County Corner. We'll be right back.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Kevin Donaldson and Thomas Watson on Clay County Corner today, and we are talking, by and large, basketball. If time allows, we may veer off into another direction, but so far we've not hit a roadblock at all. We've talked about some of the historical teams that won districts 10 years apart. We talked about changes in classification, going from one class to two to three and now to four. A lot of changes. Thomas also referenced the changeover from girls basketball to six players to full court five player. And that was a big, you know, let's go down that road for just a minute. I really always enjoyed, I understand why we made the change, but I enjoyed that six-person game. It had a lot of things in it that's not there for the full court game. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I thought it was entertaining.
Well, you know, during that time, I came back. Most of the times that I was a girls basketball coach, and six different times that I did that, there was actually one time that I kind of, in a little bit of an underhanded way, wound up not underhanded, but kind of different. You know, usually when between girls basketball coaches, you know, they would either leave or whatever, and I would get selected to do that for a year or something. And of course, my thing then was to look for some good-looking young players and put them on the floor, and I would get the coach in one year, and then someone else would come in and get to do that. But there was one team, and I'm not sure exactly which year it was, when the girls' coach left, and the director of schools, he said, well, would you like to, you know, coach the girls again next year for a year? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll have to think about it, but I really did, because in the afternoon, back when I was a little bit younger, I would go to the gym from 2 to 3, and I would go down and just shoot basketball and play around the world and things like that. And there was a young player there who was actually a two-year starter on the girls' basketball team then, and had been playing low post in grade school. And, I mean, not saying a whole lot about myself, but I was a pretty good standing shooter, and I won a whole lot of those games. But this young lady came down and beat me every day playing, shooting the ball out about 20 foot from the basket. Her name was Teresa Neiman. And
I remember Trey. Remember her father. You played golf with her father,
yeah,
what?
And I know that Superintendent Brown, he called me in and asked me that, and I said, well, I thought it over. I said, I think I'll do that this year. And the first thing that I did was to move her from the low post out to a wing player. And, of course, every day she cried every day in practice. She liked the security being under that basket. But she turned out to be probably maybe the best girls basketball player that she started for 3 years here. And we won quite a few district games that year, and we made it to the regional tournament. First time in I don't know how many years with the girls.
Now, Thomas, am I remembering right that I know the Neiman family left here. Was it North Dakota or South Dakota?
South Dakota.
And she made all everything up there, didn't she?
She was a high school All-American there in South Dakota, and signed with South Dakota, and was on. She started as a freshman, and I'm not sure exactly after that. I know she played quite a bit, off and on, and started quite a few ball games, had a great college career, and actually played in Europe maybe a year or two. So you just,
and she had a brother who unfortunately left here too at that same time. Teddy, am I remembering
yes,
right? The oldest one maybe?
Yes.
Named after his dad. Yeah, he would have been incredible if he stayed here too.
When he was here, he was on our junior varsity team that Mr. Gary Strong was coaching then. He was point guard on our junior varsity team. And when he graduated from high school, he was about 6'7", and he was in the same class with the young men that went to the first state tournament, which would have given us a 6'7" guy to go up against, what was that guy's name?
Sylvester Gray.
Up against Sylvester Gray.
Who was in the NBA a short time.
Well, he went from starting in Class A basketball to starting in Memphis State to starting for the Miami Heat.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a meteoric rise.
Yeah, but, you know, and I think he was quite a golfer, as you said, like his dad was, and still keep in contact with that family, and I know Teresa comes back and visits us every once in a while, but she was a tremendous basketball player, and on that team, of course, was Teresa Neiman, Francis Johnson, Tammy Birdwell it is now, and let's see, and then, of course, Teresa, and also Sonia Bryant, and I believe Teresa Brown. Or not Teresa Brown, but Christy Brown.
And didn't that group play in the I guess it would have been the region tournament at Hooper Evelyn, which was brand new then. I remember it being built while I was over there.
Yes.
I remember seeing them play over there in that. Thomas, you got a lot more notes, and I know we're not going to have time to talk about all of it.
Well,
what else jumps out at you?
Just kind of going through there, like I said, that first team when I first started coaching, they went from a third place finish in the district to the next 2 years actually won the district and played all the way to the sub-state. And each one of those times we ran into problems. One of the games we nearly had a ride over. I know a lot of folks do remember that story.
Yeah, I was on the bench for that one.
Where we had,
that's the old gym at Tech, wasn't it?
And yeah, and there's all kinds of political underhanded dealings that went on before the game that we lost when those guys were seniors. Don't want to get into that, but looking down through there, they won two district tournaments coming up. Then we had a year of kind of slack, and I think that year we broke even that year. And then the next year, that was the Champ Smith shot. We won another district. Went a year where we missed it, and with had Timmy Bowles, Jesse Watson, James Bartlett, Mark Strong, and Brian Smith. They didn't win the district, but they did the next year. So that group did. And, looking on down through there, in 1980, I believe, was the only year that we had a losing team here during the years that I coached. We had the 1 year of break-even and 1 year of losing. But that was a training year, too, because Mike Strong and Neil Bartlett were on that team as sophomores. And they came back, I guess not maybe juniors, they came back the next year and won the district tournament. And just, looking on through those, we didn't go very many years that we didn't, go to the district tournament. But going on through there, along about that time, we had been playing, locally. And I got to looking at some of the young kids that were down in junior high, and that being at that time was Darrell and Dwayne Reeser and David Westmoreland and some of those guys, that younger players that were coming on. And that was about the time that AAU started, and I think we actually had maybe the first boys, men, AAU junior basketball team here.
Didn't realize it.
And where we put that together, because, I got to thinking, we have beat everyone around here, but our kids don't know what it's like, to the next level. So we started playing that, and as we played, we went as Salina K-8. I mean, we didn't bring in any all-stars or anything all those times. At that time, we played just with our kids when they were in junior high.
Right.
And we managed to finish third basically every year behind the two schools out of Memphis. And then, we graduated on up as they got older and started playing some of the older. We play the older brackets. And I started taking those guys out against the competition out away from our area here, which I think gave them, the idea. Said, hey, we're just as good or better than everybody around here. We're not just the best in district. We're pretty good. And I think that mindset kind of came in there. And that was a big thing about, leading up to the three state tournament teams that we had. And really, there's not hardly any way that you can really describe those 3 years there. I know we won over 30 games for three straight years.
Seemed like I remember you all won like 105 or 110 games. I was at the newspaper in those days, over 3 years, which that's a lot of wins.
And through that period of time, that team never lost a district game or a district tournament game. And they made it all the way through, and we went to the state tournament three times. But that year, the first year with that bunch, we had I've got another page here somewhere or another, but that bunch of the starters on that would have been Darrell, Dwayne Reeser, Joey Cole, J. Jeff Arms and Tracy Strong. They were the main, kind of the main ones. But, you know, we had Alan Sharp, who was that number six man for a number of years, the starter his senior year, an outstanding player. And I know the Joey and Jeff and Tracy, they won lots and lots of state honors, all state.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it, Joey Cole is the only All-American we've ever had. Back before the McDonald's All-American, there was a Converse All-American, and he was selected to that team. And the I guess the one team there, the first team of that group, they were actually ranked in the top 20 teams on USA Today for most of that season. So, I mean, they gained national attention, and we were ranked number one going into the state tournament, and, of course, Bolton was ranked number two. But, you know, they kind of had an advantage in a way. They were playing under some type of court order that they weren't allowed to play public schools in Memphis at that time. Hmm. And they were the only small county school in Shelby County. They were a county school.
Don't have a lot of Class A programs. Well, you got actually got more now, I guess, than they did at that time.
Yeah, and they, of course, that was the time, too, in Memphis where they had a tremendous number of outstanding basketball players. I know there was probably six or eight of those players that we played against went on and had great NBA careers. I mean, it wasn't just Sylvester Gray. I mean, they were loaded all over. And we played against them and competed against them. And
Thomas, it seems like I remember the first of those years, and would that have been 80, maybe 84? I believe it would have been when Joey Coe was a junior. That first year, y'all went to stuff. Well, how many of those years was it played at Vanderbilt
all
at the Glass House? Every single one of them.
We never got to play in Murfreesboro. Our games were down there.
Yeah, I started to say it changed, but then when I thought about it, I realized, from a photographer's standpoint, that was Memorial Gym's a great place to take photographs. You could use a lot of them.
You know, and the quality of the players we had kind of goes by that. I think Joey Cole was probably one of the first and only players that's ever made the All-State Tournament team after losing the first game. He did that as a junior, of course, came back as a senior also and did that. And then we had a good run there. I know we did finally win a game. When Tracy and Jeff were seniors, we actually did get to win us a game. And it was a great feeling, you know, and I used to tell the guys that, you know, if we can win the state tournament, it'd be great. But, you know, if you get your name and your picture in the program, you know, that is something that is very, very special. Because out in the state of Tennessee, in most of all states, we have about, I don't know, 200 and something boys basketball coaches in the state of Tennessee. And now every one of us coaches, except four, lose the last game they play every year.
That's right. Absolutely.
And, you know,
that is right.
But those guys, with the Junior Olympics thing, we played all over the Southeast. We went to Florida and played in a regional AAU tournament down there. Joey actually played in the national tournament one year. And we were even after they graduated, I coached a few more years, and we won, I know, one more district tournament after they left. And the year that I retired, I think we were runner-up. And made it to the region and lost to a last second shot.
Well, Thomas, I remember, we always in those days talked about the big three, and Joey wound up with just a few points shy of 3,000 career, which has been eventually broken. But then you had Tracy and Jeff, Tracy Strong, Jeff Arms, who both had 2,500 points apiece, roughly. I'm calling on my old newspaper memories. So you had three guys whose careers overlapped all but one year.
Yeah.
They played together one year, who scored 8,000 points. And there was no three-point line
right.
in those days.
Right.
That's incredible.
And, you know, sometimes there are a couple of old videotapes around, and I know I we were sitting looking at one day with Tracy and his son Grant, and it was a game we played up at Birdstown, and he sat there and watched the whole thing. And after, I think Don was there and called the game. I don't know whether you were with him then or not. I don't think, but Don Napier called the game, and when they went through the points and things at the end of it, and Grant is sitting there, and he looked, they won, and my dad had nearly 30 points. He said, I didn't think he even scored. I said, well, that's kind of the way, you know, you didn't really notice because.
And Thomas, one of those years, if I'm remembering right, the Bulldogs scored over 100 points 12 times one season.
Yeah.
One season, and average, I believe, 88 points a game. That's mind-boggling for high school.
Course, in that group, they never lost a district game. And I know we had one year that all, and very legitimately so, all five starting members were on the all-district team. All five of our starters. There really wasn't any way you could kind of, you know, rank the benefit, the way they played. From others.
Right.
I mean, it was just a tremendous period of time. And
well, Thomas, after that, all those guys were gone, and I don't need to start trying to name players on that team, but I remember being out here at home covering a game. It would have been in, I'm going to say, 87, somewhere through there. Excuse me, somebody in the district beat us out here. I want to say it's Van Buren County.
Red Bull.
Was it Red Bull? And they celebrated like that. And I thought, well, okay, we lost a game. That's when I realized
that was
hadn't lost in so many years,
yeah.
Either at the gym or in the district.
But that team also went on to win the district.
Oh, yeah, they did well.
That was with, I guess, Jason Hamilton and
I remember John Carlisle being on one of those.
John was a member of 2 years of the state tournament, a very, very important cog of that team.
Yeah.
He wasn't as well known. I need to get a number between 1 and 5 real quick.
All right. We better do number 4.
And number 4 would be Jason Hamilton.
Well.
Jason Hamilton has won the cake.
Pure love.
Excuse me, not won the cake, but won the prize today.
Won the prize.
And with that, I guess we're going to have to shut this place down because we've got a little bird mayor that says we're about out of time.
Enjoyed
it. We appreciate everyone listening, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. Hopefully we'll meet you again next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on WVFB FM 101 Kicks Country. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you. Good day, Clay County.
Have a good day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.